Good morning and welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony on this beautiful August hot day. Welcome. Your presences, or each one of you, are a great blessing to all of us. Whether you're here in the sanctuary or whether you're viewing us from further away, we are all gathered here as one in the body of Christ. A couple of announcements today, just a couple. A reminder that next Saturday at 2 p.m. is the memorial service for our beloved friend, member, work student in the fullest sense of the word, and companion on the journey, Judith August. So please join us either here or in the sanctuary or on the church's website, where it will be offered live. And very soon, in a couple of weeks, starting on Wednesday, September 1st, the Wednesday evening service will begin at 6 o'clock instead of 6:30. And that's to make room, perhaps, for classes that will follow on after that, starting in the fall. So stay tuned. So let's just gather ourselves wherever we are, psychically or physically, and come to a point of inner stillness. Why am I here today? What do I wish to receive? How will I open myself and be present? So we begin our time in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, indwelling, the most holy living Trinity. Amen.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come.
Holy Spirit, come. Oh.
Please stand and join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Most gracious and loving Creator, Mother, Father, Sustainer of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on this service today. Open our minds and open our hearts. Teach us to love and give us each a word of grace that we can take into our world and manifest it. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, indwelling, the most holy living Trinity, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. A reading from the book of Isaiah. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen. Thank you.
Sometimes we are called to dance on the wild edges of our lives and discover something new. Or we have a sense that our lives have grown too small and we need to confront our fears of what is unknown. We need to welcome in strangeness, to crack open unknown parts of ourselves and of God. That's a poem by Christine Paintner called On Pilgrimage. And my name is Don Hale, otherwise known as husband of the church lady, our youth director at CCH, or several other names. And I just got back from a pilgrimage to Santiago, and Peter invited me to come up and share some of our experiences. I went with my brother. And so 35 days of a pilgrimage into the unknown to share in 30 minutes. Deborah suggested that I ask all of you to set your alarms. But I think I've got something else in plan that will, you don't have to do that. I'm remembering Tim, the founder of our church, when he came back from Mount Athos. We were over on Steck. And I was sitting in the congregation and listening to him share his tales, his experiences, his stories. And I realize now that I was so moved by that experience because I felt that I was there with him. And I want you to know that sitting here with you now is the most extraordinary experience of my life, just about, because I was with all of you on my pilgrimage every day. I prayed for every one of you. And I felt your prayers for me and your well wishes. And as those prayers met in this other dimension, let's call it, I was conscious of a different atmosphere. An environment was created in that alchemical process that made it much easier for me to pray without ceasing every day. And that led to some of the most extraordinary experiences that I've ever had, and you'll hear about some of them. So that's what I hope to share and convey today, is how incredibly connected we all are as a community of faith. And we are all called to go on pilgrimage every day, is one of the things I've recognized since I've been back. And you all answered your call to come here today. Do you know why? I don't know, but I know why I'm here. So come to me, all of you, is the call to adventure. And I want to thank you all for being here today. And I want to thank God. I want to say, hello, pilgrims. So when I talk about the Camino with people that want to hear about it, it usually comes down to four basic questions. What is the Camino? Why did you walk the Camino? What happened during the Camino? And what is your takeaway? What did you learn from your time there? So the Camino Santiago Compostela is, Santiago is a town in northern Spain that has the remains of Saint James, Saint Iago in Spanish. the third disciple that Jesus selected, brother of John, son of Zebedee. And for the past 1,000 years, pilgrims from all over the world, Christian pilgrims, have come to Santiago to experience the answers to their prayers, well, for infinite number of reasons. They've walked the path, the way is what it's called, to Santiago for their own reasons. And so why did I go? Well, I knew about the Camino. I'd heard about it for years. And then a couple of friends of mine and I thought about, well, it might be fun to go there. So we started having meetings about going about 4 or 5 years ago. And we'd meet about every 2 months or so and just talk about it. Now, I knew somehow that I was never going to go. So that was, I kept saying to them, this is my Camino, these meetings. So I prepared for those meetings. I really took them seriously because I realized that was about as close as I was ever going to get. I don't think they believed me, and they say now they didn't, but 3 years ago, almost next month, 3 years ago, is that right? Yeah. A friend of mine approached me, and I have to say it, out of the blue, and said, I hear you're interested in going to the Camino, walking the Camino. And I said, yeah. And this person said, well, why aren't you doing it? And I said, well, I guess basically I don't have enough money. And this person said, well, what if I took that reason away from you and made it possible for you to go? Would you walk the Camino Santiago? And I said, yes. I mean, I didn't think about it. I just, you know, I have to now because that was my reason for not going. And so that was my reason to go. I said yes to an angel. Right? I mean, what kind of miracle is that? And so I went and talked to my brother, and he said he'd like to go. Whew. And so we started preparing ourselves, and that was why I went. And I didn't know that there was another reason until I just a few days ago, actually. And I'll share that with you if I remember later on. So now, some stories about the experience on the Camino. Now, those of you who know me, I'm working on neutralizing my personality, as you can tell right now. There's not ever been a story that I don't like to add some of the unknown and unseen elements. In other words, my grandmother said I kissed the Blarney Stone. So I brought my brother in today to verify. Right? Or not. Some of the experiences, and also to share some of his perspectives as well. So I'd like to ask my brother Tom to come up right now. And the interesting thing about Tom, I have another brother named Jerry. And
welcome.
Thank you, brother. But he's going to have a birthday in 2 weeks. And he'll be the same age as me.
I'll be older than you.
But don't bump. That's our oldest
joke. You'll have his birthday and he'll be older than me.
Yeah, that's our oldest joke. You're supposed to laugh there, right?
Yeah, we're the same age for a week. But my birthday's first, so obviously I'm older, right? For a week. And then it's his birthday.
Then a week later, I get to be older again. So, thank you for coming. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I think thank you, Tom, was probably the most, other than my prayers, was the most said comment I've made all trip long. So do you know why you went?
Well, you've asked me that question several times, and I've been trying to think of what the right answer to that is. I don't know if there's such a thing as a right answer. I got to thinking about it. Most people, I think, have a bucket list, things that you want to do before your time is over. I think there might be such a thing as an anti-bucket list as well, things that you never thought you wanted to do. I've climbed Kilimanjaro. I never wanted to do that, but I did. And then when Don came to me, I vaguely knew about the Camino. We have a sister, Kathleen, who sings in Conspirare, and they had a concert about 5-6 years ago in 2015. Is that 6 years ago? And it was called The Miracle of the Path, or The Miracle of the Way, I think it is. And it was all about the Camino. And watching the videos, listening to the music was just awe-inspiring. So when Don came to me and said, "Hey, I'm thinking about walking the Camino. You want to come with me?" I said, "Okay." Just like that. So it was not a conscious thought about, "Oh, let me think about this." It's like, "No, of course. Yeah, I'll go with you." So that's how I got to go.
And we practiced and went through it. And then the night before we went, we had a gathering, say goodbye to everybody. And I said to Tom, "Are you scared?" Beep.
Yeah.
We're doing this. We're going to get on the plane in the morning and fly to Spain for 35 days and walk this path. And it was just, it was happening. So we went. Do you have a moment that stands out about the trip, about the walking the path?
That's impossible.
Exactly.
The way is just its own moment in time, because every day was a miracle. Everything we did was miraculous. The end of the day, we would walk about 6 hours a day, about 15 miles a day, something like that. And I'm not the most physical person, do not do, you know, physical things that much. But we did practice. We practiced, you know, 4 or 5 miles a day, thinking, "Oh, here we are, we're ready to go." And I can't tell you how tired you can get. You're carrying 20 pounds of a backpack, how sore your feet get, how torn up your feet get. But at the end of the day, you, of course, go to sleep and you get up every day and do it again for 35 days. And that's unbelievable. It's a miracle. And yet we did it. And so that is the takeaway, is that a person can do pretty much anything.
If you're praying constantly.
If you're praying constantly.
And there's Mignon McLaughlin has a quote, very famous quote, that says, "Even cowards can endure hardship. Only the brave can endure suspense." So every morning, for at least 28, we got to Santiago in 28 days. We wake up at 5. We'd be the first ones up. And it would still be dark. And we'd do our morning ablutions, you know, get ourselves ready. And then we'd quietly leave and do our devotional service somewhere. We'd find, hopefully near a church, but we did them everywhere. And then we would say our two rules of the road. And we wouldn't know where we were going to have our first meal. We wouldn't know where we were going to spend the night that night. We wouldn't know what the terrain was going to be like. And we wouldn't know what the weather was going to be like. We just walked and looked for signs. And that's how you found your way. I mean, there's GPS, there's maps. And Tom had GPS, and we had that. And we had to use it many times. That was one of the things we discovered very early. There are no wrong ways on the way, in our walking of it. There are just other ways that take a little bit longer, show you a different way to see things. And but, Tom, what's our first rule?
Positive energy. Positive energy towards ourselves, towards everyone around us. No negative energy, no negative thoughts, just positive energy. And rule number two?
Rule number two, thank you for asking, is that we would be patient, loving, open, compassionate, empathetic for ourselves, for each other, and for everyone we meet every day. And I don't recall ever having a negative moment in 35 days. Well, yeah.
There were moments.
Yeah.
There were several moments.
Let me put it this way. People would say, what was your down? And I go, my down was my up. Because if you have a down while you're in the middle of a prayer, things don't go the way they do when you're not in that.
That's the thing about the path, too. You go down a lot, and you also realize that every down, there is going to be an up. And there was a lot of ups.
There's literal ups, and there's figurative ones, that's for sure. In fact, that was one of our sayings. We figured out that the way is only up.
And it's only 2.9 kilometers long.
Yeah.
This became our metaphysical point of reference for us as well. Because you would see signs that said the next town, 2.9 kilometers, and you'd walk for the next 3-4 hours.
Well, there was this one particular town, Logronos, was it? Yeah. And we saw Logronos, 2.9 kilometers, and we'd been walking long enough to know, okay, that's about 20, 30 minutes. And so we walked, and we were in this kind of this marshy area, and the grass was up high, and we couldn't really see where we were going. And we walked 20 minutes, and 30 minutes, and 45 minutes, and where is this town? And then we thought, okay, wait, hold on. We're looking for this town. We're trying to make this town happen. And there's a thing called second force that we talk about in this church. And so we thought, second force meaning the energy that you're trying to do something is met with an equal energy that will oppose you. So we said, we're going to relax. We're having no rush to get to this town. And as soon as we both said that, we got to the rise of a hill, and there it was. So it became this metaphysical, other dimensional number, 2.9 miles. So whenever one of us would ask, how much longer? We'd say,
2.9 kilometers.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Almost
and it's
there.
Not just a time either. It's a state of mind. It's anything that you need to let go of because you're forgetting it, rule number one. I think one of the most powerful moments for me, and I think they all had to do with you, but it was a simple gesture of you helping me put my backpack on.
Yeah.
He would just be there to help me get my arm in the last time, Or he'd be, okay. So that was happening all the time. But there was this one day, about the fifth day or so, and it was really hot. We got to Spain just as it reopened. So a lot of the albergues, the places to stay, weren't open yet, and there weren't a lot of restaurants open yet.
Spain likes to sleep a lot. I think they wake up late and then take a nap immediately. And so
nice. It's a nice
Don
culture.
Don mentioned that we would walk until we found a place open. He wasn't kidding. I mean, we would start walking at 6, and obviously not very many places open at 6 anyway. But walking between these towns, we would walk until we could find a cup of coffee or for Don, hot chocolate. And it would be maybe a couple hours before we'd find a place that was actually open. Because I would say a third to a half of the, not just the albergues, but stores and things were closed as well.
The more they opened, the closer we got to Santiago. Yeah. I mean, when we got about 250 miles out, we started seeing more things regularly open. But they were just ramping back up after having been closed for a year and a half. So this fifth day, we hadn't been eating a lot, and it was hot, and there was a lot of climbing, a lot of going up, like we were talking about. And we were at a fountain in the city square, and it was time for me to take my Parkinson's medication. And I took it, and it got stuck in my throat. And Tom ran off to get me some more water from the fountain. And it looks a lot worse than when that happens than it actually is. I mean, you just got some pills stuck in your throat, so I'm gagging and making these awful sounds. But in that moment, I lost it. I was done. I was ready to go home. So he came back over, and he was looking at me, and I could see the look on his face was like, oh, what can I do? And I saw that look, and I had a moment, an angel helped me take my look inside myself. And I looked down inside myself. And it's like I looked through some clouds, and below the clouds as they parted was my fear. And I said, huh? You're what I'm afraid of? You're not even real. And it looked up, you know, it ran away because it doesn't like to be seen. I said, come back here. You run away. You're scared of the light. You always will be the light. Well, the light's always with me, so you can't even get in here. I know what you look like. I know what you smell like. You're never coming. And I was saying this out loud.
Imagine my surprise.
I'm putting my backpack on. I'm walking, stomping down. And I was remembering a couple of weeks before in our journey group Thursday night, somebody had mentioned the use of righteous anger. Anger can be used as a righteous tool. And, but it was that look on Tom's face that helped me have a moment of self-remembering and to look at it. Now, little side note, when I got home and I was telling that story, all of a sudden I got this little nudge from an angel or a knowing that I kind of missed an opportunity there, that now I'm still in polarity with my fear, so I have to wait for it to come back so I can carefully, gently approach it, so I can somehow hug it, dance with it, combine with it, so that it no longer is a part of, away from me. But I know what it looks like. I know what it smells like. So that was one of my moments. And just connected to that moment, my other favorite moment was when we came out of the... So as you walk the Camino, and there are many of you here in the congregation, I think, that have walked it too. You get your passport, your Camino passport stamped. And we had two because we got a lot of stamps. And I thought of the stamps as blessings. So as you pass by a bar or every time you stop in an albergue, you get a stamp. And so when you get to Santiago, you go to the passport office and you show them the proof that you did it, that you walked it, and they give you your certificate, your ultimate blessing, I guess. And we came out of the passport office. You remember this? Of course you do. And there was a long line of people waiting to get in, and we walked past them, and Tom said, hey. And I said, why? He goes, we did it. And then we hugged. That was big. That was a big moment. Now, we were accompanied by angels, as you've already heard, but they started right off the top. Remember the night we got there? We flew into Madrid, took the train to Pamplona, and got into Pamplona about 11?
About 11 o'clock.
And Tom says, let's get a taxi. I said, we have our backpacks. We're here to walk. So we walked from the train station into the...
Sort of figured out where this hotel was. A little side note here. An interesting aspect of the way is the way... takes care of you. The way is a miracle. It's miraculous. And in a point of reference is practically every time we tried to plan something, mm-hmm. call ahead to make reservations, there was a snafu. Anytime we just went with the flow, there was no problems. We'd find a place to eat. We'd find a place to stay. There'd be water along the way. It was just as if we're taking care of you. You're doing this. You're going to be taken care of. But one case in point was the first night we got there was the first reservation we made. Practically the only reservation we made was at this hotel in Pamplona.
And so we get there, we get in, we go up, and it's a kiosk. There's no one there to let you in.
No humans. It's just a machine. It says check in here.
Put in the confirmation number in the kiosk. That's supposed to drop down your keys to get into your room. Well, of course it's not in work.
Reservation not found.
So... rule number one.
Positive energy. Okay, we'll call hotels.com and see if we can figure this out.
And we get this young Spanish girl.
I don't know if she was Spanish. She might have been. Well, who knows? But she said, I'll be on the line. I'll call them. I'll take care of this. We're going to get a place for you to stay. And in the next 20, 25 minutes, she was online the whole time with us until the kiosk went bing, and they went our key. It was like,
she told us. Halfway through this thing, when she was, please hold on, I will not drop you, I will be back, I promise. She kept saying that. And then one time she came back, she said, I want you to know, I will stay with you until you get a room. Can you imagine that? This was at midnight now. And she did. And we had this great room for three.
For 3 hours, because we got up early.
I like to get up early. Tom kind of got used to that. Thank you, Tom. So that was the first night. So we get up the next morning and we walk. And the first day out of Pamplona is that hill. If you've seen the movie The Way, that's where they have the tin metal pilgrims walking. And that's a long walk up for your first day. And then you come down. And so we weren't finding anything open. We finally found a restaurant that had just closed its kitchen. So it gave us some water. And we didn't know what was going on. And there's nothing open. So we finally get into the town, whatever it was called. It's on his shirt, by the way. Do you see this shirt?
Obanos.
It's all the towns we walked through.
The yellow ones are where we stayed. The white ones we just walked through and look for a place to get a coffee or something.
So Obanos, yeah. So there's nothing open. No restaurants either. We kept walking. We'll be open at 8, you know. So we finally saw this pension, and this car pulled up in front of it. And this woman got out, so we walked up. And she came out, and she was just dropping something off. And we went, you have a couple of beds?
You have two beds for the night? And she just looked at us like,
she was going to say
what
no.
What are you doing here?
Yeah. But then she said, go get a beer.
Come back in 45 minutes. We'll have a room for you.
And we did. And she was gone.
We didn't see her the rest of the time we were there.
She left instructions on how to leave the money and how to check out in the morning. Isn't that like a definition of an angel? Two nights in a row. Hello there. Pay a little bit. Don't lose rule number one. And all is well. And so we've got to get to the day, because Deborah will be upset if we don't talk about meeting Mike. So there were other pilgrims, of course. So you walk with your people on your day, and those are kind of your pilgrims, because those are the ones you see. You stay with them sometimes. You eat with them sometimes. And so we had several like that. Scott was probably the one from Canada. He was born in England, but he was living in Canada. And we kept running into him, and he stayed with us a few times. But there was this one day that was a lot of climbing, so it was really hot and dry the first week, probably.
You walk through an area called the Meseta, which is like walking through West Texas.
But it was, yeah. But that was rainy.
But amazingly enough, while we walked it rained the whole time we were doing it.
So it didn't just rain, it was 45 degrees with a 45 mile an hour gale wind in our face.
Yeah. And they had wheat fields. And I count our blessings kind of double-edged, because on the one hand, everything was in bloom. The fruit was in bloom. The flowers were in bloom. The fields were full of wheat and crops. Nothing was ready to be picked yet. Nothing's ready to eat.
We were 2 weeks early to eat anything.
But we didn't have to walk through the chaff of the wheat fields being plowed under or anything being harvested.
That was beautiful. But then we got to the next mountain range. And so we were walking in it. And this was the day that we had been warned that to be careful coming down, because it was shale and really slippery rock. So we got to the top, and it was the day of the Iron Cross, which is kind of this big deal on the Camino, which is you place your stones that you brought from the world that represent whatever it is you're wanting to let go of. So that was a big deal. And then we met this holy man who had a tin shack and invited us to stay. He just served us coffee and invited us to sit down. And I said, no, we need to get going. So we left, and about 10 minutes later, Tom said, you know, that was that holy man I was telling you about that, you know, kind of blesses pilgrims. I went, and I realized, why was I in a hurry? We had nowhere to go. We had no time schedule. And I said, Tom, do not let me make us leave early again or not stop someplace because I'm worried about being late somewhere. So about 45 minutes later, we get into this little town, tiny little town, had one bar that was open, and Tom said,
let's stop here for some coffee and a little break.
I said, we just stopped for coffee. Let's keep going.
I said, well, let's stop here.
We stopped. We stopped, and we went in, and Tom always, they said, where are you from? And Tom always said,
they're from Texas.
Austin. And some people didn't know Texas, but
they'd have to go Texas, United States. Yes.
And I said Austin, and he broke into this big grin. He said, "I'm from Austin." And over there, he pointed to his couch, and there was a UT blanket, Hook'em Horns.
The guy had gone to school at UT. He was from Houston, but he had gone to school at UT. His son lives here in Austin now, and he had, for some reason, we never figured out why, he moved back to Spain and opened this bar in this little town.
He didn't want us to leave. He was also doing everything. He was, you know, he was cooking. He was talking to everybody in all these different languages. But when it came time for us to leave, he starts crying, "No, don't go." And we went, "Oh, we've got your name. We've got a picture of him and with him." And we said, "We'll write you." And so we left. And we were walking down. Tom was in front. And all of a sudden, I stepped on a piece of rock, and it broke. And I fell. And as you fall on these trails, they're about this wide. And sometimes they're deep, like they have edges. It's a very ugly thing. And so, but as I fell, of course, I was in the middle of a prayer. Now, we have at this church 24 prayers, and I was saying them all interspersed in between bringing all of you guys up and praying for you. So as I fell like this in slow motion, kind of like. And as I landed on this shale rock where this lichen and this succulent and these white flowers that were ubiquitous were all growing out of the middle of this rock. And I landed on that, and it was so comfortable. And Tom came running up to me. Do you remember this?
I looked back going, "Oh, my gosh, what's he done?"
And I went, Could I just lie here a little bit longer?
Yeah. So I thought we probably dodged a bullet there.
Thank you all for that. So that happened, and then we got to the next town. We stopped, and everybody starts, as they pass us, we were eating at a restaurant. Scott passed by. He didn't stop. He went to the next town. But people stayed in the restaurant and the albergue with us. "Hey, are you those two brothers from Texas?" We went, "Yeah, how do you know that?" And he goes, "Well, there's this guy at this bar that's telling us, told us to make sure we said hello."
Everyone knew who we were. So you're the ones that look like ZZ Top.
I asked him, I said, "How did you know to ask us?" He went, "He told us that look for two guys that look like they're members of ZZ Top." Now, if I had not stopped, if I had kept moving, that would be a whole chapter of our experience that would not have ever happened. You know, you think about those side choices you make, right? Or not, don't make. And, you know, I think of the choice to stop there. It was that holy man's shack, which, of course, we found out later that wasn't the holy man. It was some guy that was taking his place.
A less than holy man?
In training, maybe.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other thoughts? Oh, I guess your thoughts are about them. What about a takeaway? Did you share your takeaway?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this earlier, and I think the biggest takeaway is that a person is capable of anything, no matter the trials and the tribulations. If you put your mind to it, if you are supported, you can do anything. And we certainly did a lot and most anything on those 35 days. And
thank you. Thank you, Tom. He was my saint and my everyday angel.
And I only did it because I had to follow him. And he was my strength, because there were times that it was just like, "I can't do this. I cannot do this."
One morning, we were walking up for 4 hours, it seems like, straight up.
And I had, after the Iron Cross, I got shin splints in this leg. And if you've had those, you know what that's like. And most people who get those, a lot of people who get those, they say, "All right, that's it, I'm going home. That's enough." And I just didn't think we had that option. It was never crossed my mind that, "No, we're going home now." That just never appeared to me. On this day, this up, I followed Don pretty much the whole way, and just because he was dragging me along, pulling me along.
Yeah, I asked him that night. I said, I was praying for you. I was walking next to you and trying to give you energy. He says, "I felt it."
I don't know how else I would have made that. I don't know how else we would have gotten up there. That was just a miracle.
Well, thank you for being here, brother, and thank you for
having me.
So, to finish up, since I've been back, I've realized that every morning I get up into the unknown. I have Parkinson's, and so some mornings I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get up and walk the usual way to go. And it's just rule number one, right? So that's shown me a whole nother level of being able to engage things that I don't expect. And I realized, too, that I was having four experiences. I was having my experience. Tom was having his experience at the same time I was having mine. We were having our experience together. And then I was experiencing all of you, all at the same time. And that does something to time and place. It really puts you in a whole nother experience, a way of experiencing things. So it was a communal experience. And I've changed the way I see refugees and people, immigrants who are walking. They're pilgrims. I mean, we're all called. Most of the time, we get a choice to answer the call. But sometimes we don't get a choice to answer the call. And so I feel so at one with people who are forced to answer the call. And I just hope that they know that they are taken care of by the way they're walking. And so I get up in the morning. I don't know what's going to happen, but I look for signs. And I remember my two rules, and I see everyone as a pilgrim. And then I went to pick up, I found this poem on my printer. It was at the end of this book called Our Camino Journey, written by Don Hale. So I thought I'd share this with you as a closing. Come to me. I hear with the ears of my heart. Come. Come. Come, the call puts the horse inside the cart, and off we go to the master before I even start. All of us are called to move through our pain, but who answers the call and won't refrain from ceaseless praying without worldly gain? Grace without effort, free from all strain. My heart hears the voice singing the song of the way. My head can't understand it or make it stay unless I'm walking three centered paths moving up the ray. Pilgrims have walked this path for 1,000 years on feet like yours and with our ears like the awe and wonder and love one hears is letting go the burden of thoughts and fears. I answered my call and walked the trail to where I see right now a sign hung by three nails saying, come to me. You cannot fail. The call of the way is our master's tale. Walk to the end of the world you know without knowing when or which way to go, but signs are there. If you're looking, they'll show. Through clouds you're falling to your fears below. I walked the Camino. Now the Camino walks me through this world of sense to a realm that's free of a painful lie. I could barely see that there is only I when I am we. And there will be some pictures of our journey during the singing of Amazing Grace on Zoom. So take a moment and then notice our breath as a way of centering into what did I experience today while I was here that I could take with me. And now we take our tithes and our offerings into our hands and our hearts, whether we give electronically or by mail or here at the church in the basket in the back. Let's say and affirm together this deep truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God. And we bless these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in all our lives over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. Amen.
Walk down that lonesome road all by yourself. Don't turn your head back over your shoulder and only stop to rest yourself when the silver moon is shining high above the trees. If I had stopped to listen once or twice, down that lonesome road all by yourself. Don't turn your head back over your shoulder and only stop to rest yourself when the silver moon is shining high above the trees.
And now we simply rest in the silence of centering prayer for 10 minutes while we consent to God's infinite love, presence, and action in our lives. Now, as we prepare to participate in the Eucharist, let us place a stone upon the altar, our own stone. Perhaps it is one of heaviness, or maybe it is one of intention. All of them can be lifted up in prayer to our Creator and Sustainer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. For it is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. And Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after having said the blessing, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat this, all of you. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper had ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence is the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these mysteries bring us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. So let us stand and join in concluding our service by singing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost,
was blind, but now I see. I can see your love, see it all around. I can see your love, see it all around. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
So as we go forward into this coming week, we can say yes, look for signs, expect angels, take the next step. Right, Don?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.